I'm Haley Haymore, the host of Purposefully Living Podcast, where I invite people who have shaped my life through godly wisdom. They have taught me how to live life on purpose, and I hope through sharing their testimonies here, we can learn how to live extraordinary lives. Welcome back to the Purposefully Living Podcast. We have a special guest today. He is my friend on and off the court. He is a pickleball pro and a social media content guy, influencer in the wild. Is that what you are, an influencer?
Yeah, I feel like you could call it that.
Yeah.
A micro influencer, probably.
Yeah. He's you can't go anywhere. He gets spotted everywhere we go. He's just West Dog. Everybody just screams out his name. His name is Wesley Hansen. Super guy, strong Christian, and we quickly connected on the court and in the pickleball community. And I just want to kind of sit here with him today and hear his story and who he is, because it's evident to me when he's playing pickleball that he loves the Lord and he's trying to honor him in that area. And so I just wanted to hear about his life and his love for the Lord. So Wesley, welcome.
Thanks, Haley. I'm pumped to be here.
Oh yeah, I know you are. This is gonna be a fun one. So Wesley, kind of tell me about your— I'm saying Wesley. I don't think I've ever called you Wesley. Wes?
Either okay. One's good.
Yeah, I'm going to call you Wes. So same person, guys. Wes, tell me about your testimony, your childhood, everything, just kind of getting to where you are now. And you're 26, right? Just turned 26.
26 on Wednesday.
Okay.
2 days.
Happy birthday.
2 days. Thanks. First person to tell me that. So
okay.
There we go.
So this is your last little hoorah of 25.
Yeah. Then I'm like off, gotta get my own insurance and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, you're adulting.
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
Testimony for me, I grew up in the church. It feels like I was like birthed in the fellowship hall of a church, is kind of what it's like. Like, my granddad is a retired Methodist pastor. My uncle is a current Methodist pastor. My mom's a choir director at a Methodist church. My brother did college ministry and is now an associate pastor. It's just like all in our family, like, church and Christianity has just always constantly been there. And my name is John Wesley. He is the guy that founded Methodism.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I'm like literally named after the guy that like founded a denomination. So I don't know. It's just always been a part of me. And I think like even in like elementary school, middle school, I genuinely think that I have always— there's never been a time where I didn't know the Lord. And I feel like that is like actually genuinely accurate. There were times when, you're going through middle school, you're going through things that are just like really weird, just really awkward time of life.
Yeah.
Where, you know, I was involved with youth group, was playing sports and doing things, but like there was a handful of people that were extremely special to me and like mentored me throughout middle school. There's one guy, his name was Matt McCommon. He was a junior or senior when I was in sixth or seventh grade, and we just had similar interests, but I know that I was like probably an extremely annoying like middle schooler, and he was just like very kind to like kind of take me under his wing and show me what it's like to live the Christian life and also be like a normal person. I think there's a lot of like people that are in the Christian world that you're like, yeah, they're kind of weird. Like, I don't know if I want to like be around them all the time.
Yeah, for sure at that age too. Because
totally.
they always think you're sheltered or totally different. The people in class and stuff, in public schools especially, they'll make it like you're different or whatever.
Yeah. And this guy was like totally not. I was like, this dude's the coolest person I've ever met in my entire life.
Yeah.
And he's a Christian. And like that kind of blew my mind. And I was like, man, I really want to model a lot of what I do like after the way that this guy lives his life. And there were a couple people like that, like a small group leader in high school that was similar to that. And I think that just shows like, man, the people that you surround yourself with and the people that you look up to really have a huge impact on your life and impact on your testimony. And so that was kind of like middle school and high school for me. All throughout this time, like I played golf pretty competitively and ended up playing in college on a scholarship for a school in South Georgia. And I think there's a thread of learning a lot of life skills and learning a lot about myself and a lot about my faith, like through playing sports, was super, super impactful for me. And when I got to college, there are kind of two different paths that you can take. Like, you're like, man, I really want to experiment with everything that I can like figure out. Like, I'm not under my parents' roof anymore.
Yeah.
I don't have to go to church anymore. Like, depending on, you know, what your upbringing was like, or you can like really double down and be like, man, Like, I think I want to take my faith seriously and see what it's like to do this on my own and get plugged into community and find college ministries and find a church. And so for me, like, I really thought, like, man, I really want to take this seriously and see what this is like. And the cool thing about that is when you're in college and you're choosing to go to church, you're choosing to be in
especially a college ministry in a public.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you weren't, it wasn't, you know, something like Liberty that I attended where it's kind of the culture or the trend to be going to church. You were kind of going against the grain.
Yeah.
By being in, be easy for you to just kind of, like you said, try everything, do everything.
Totally. Yeah. I went to a public state school called Valdosta State University. We had like 15 or 20,000 students. You know, not, it's not like crazy, but yeah, it's definitely not the norm for a college student there to be like, man, I really want to go to church
go
on
to
Sundays
church, yeah.
or like go to, you know, our college Bible study or worship night, like every week. Like that's kind of a rare thing to do, especially as a college athlete.
Yes. Like, especially as like a college athlete.
The like athletic world, like is honestly a pretty dark place in some, like that's one way to put it. Like,
yeah,
that's just not the norm. So in college I got super involved with a ministry called the Wesley Foundation, which not like, not my own thing.
It's
a Methodist college ministry, and the guy that runs it is actually like a family friend. His wife was like in my mom and dad's wedding, and they like babysat her. Like, it's a crazy connections there. But I was like super fortunate to immediately have a community of people like in college that was like kind of apart from my golf team, even of like, man, these are people that love Jesus, love me, and we do a lot of things together. And
yes.
That was just like super formative in a lot of different ways. And then while I was still in college, I was super involved with the church that I was going to, but I kind of got to a point where I was like feeling super, super burned out. I was like, man, like I'm helping out with the youth group, but I'm also having to like study for all these tests, go to workouts in the morning, practice every day. I'm traveling almost every weekend for tournaments. And it kind of got to a point where I was like, man, like, I feel like I'm missing my ministry because I'm like so involved with other things when it's like, man, like, I think the Lord has given me an ability to one, play golf or be in an athletic manner, but two, like in this space and in this time with this group of people that I'm on a team with. And I really want to lean into what that could potentially look like. So I started a Bible study with my team. And like pretty much everybody was involved, even if they weren't Christians. Like they were just
and
like
you started it.
Yeah, and I started it.
Wes, yeah, like, I did not know that. I have chills.
Yeah,
look at that.
It was crazy. Yeah, and I it was just something that I really felt like the Lord was calling me to do. And so I was coming up with content for it. I was reaching out to other people to like help me plan what this would look like. And like even like one of my best friends to date, his name's Ryan. He like came to know the Lord like through this time.
That
and
is
like,
amazing.
I got to be like a part of that. Not necessarily like the whole part of like at all. Like I think the Lord has done just incredible things in his life, but to get to be like a front row seat to that and to get that confirmation on my end of like, man, like this is really what the Lord like has for me.
Has made you for, yes.
I think that's kind of a theme throughout my life. But then I graduated. I was still playing golf. I wanted to play professionally for a while, but then I kind of got to a point where I was like, I'm not good enough to do that. Like I was good, but I wasn't not to the level that you need to be to play.
Yeah.
And make a lot of money. I think I could have done it and been poor, but that's not really something that I was like super interested in doing. And so I finished undergrad, had a COVID year of eligibility. So I got an MBA while I played my fifth year of golf. And then I moved back home for a little bit.
And you said that you kind of went to, I just started playing golf. And so, of course, I got this guy on the court. Mm-hmm. Or on the court. What do you call it? Course. I'm used to saying court.
Of course. Yeah, yeah.
Course. I said court. So, anyways, he definitely showed me up. And he taught me a few things and everything. But I was talking to you about it. You know, kind of just what your, while we were playing, what your... you know, sports journey was like, and you kind of went through a time where you're struggling with competing and competition, sure, and all that. Like, kind of share, you know, your story with being an athlete. Like, the Lord's gifted you that, you said that, like, and how you've used that for the Lord, obviously by starting a ministry with your team, but in other areas, and then kind of the struggles of that, like, where you are called to be set apart, mm-hmm, and you're in a sports world where, you know, competitiveness in that nature sometimes just steps in, and it's, you know, a little bit challenging.
Yeah. I think everybody's journey is different. Kind of two things about that. One, like, from just a psychological perspective, and then one from, like, a more spiritual perspective. I think you, like, play your best when there's, like, not a whole lot of pressure on yourself. Like, when you're just enjoying playing whatever, mm-hmm, your sport is. It doesn't even have to be sports. Whatever your thing is.
Like, yeah.
I think when you are just, like, having fun and enjoying being there and not putting tons of pressure or not feeling pressure from the people around you, you're able to just, like, genuinely kind of enter into a flow state and play your best.
Yeah.
Spiritually, I think for me, I get to that point because I'm like, hey, my identity is not tied up in how well I do on the course or on the court or the amount of success that I have or the achievements that I bring in. My identity is that I'm a child of God, and,
yes,
like, I'm loved regardless of how I show up.
Yes.
And how I play. I still have to remind myself that.
Like, yeah, I do too.
Every single day. Like,
yeah.
Especially when you're, you know, for a lot of your identity, like, for us, like, I'm teaching pickleball every day. I'm competing in pickleball tournaments now. Like, you're in the same boat.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I guess this isn't my identity, but, like, it plays a pretty freaking big part of my life.
It plays a big part, yeah.
You know? And
then, too, when you have all your students looking at you and how you perform.
Totally.
And, you know, and that's how you're measured. And whether you get on signed or you get be considered pro is,
right,
based on performance. So it's... You know, all the factors of the world,
yeah,
is that's what they want, is for us to think it's our identity.
Yeah.
Because that's how the world measures it, is your success. But we know it's, you know, that reminder of that it's not that.
Yeah.
If we lose every time, then that's my job is to be a witness on the court.
Right.
A witness on the course and honor him.
Yeah.
And so how do you feel like you did that, though? It's tough,
yeah,
sometimes.
It's
or how
good.
Do you do it now?
I think it's a journey, like everything is a process. When I got to college and was playing golf, like, I think your world's really small when you're in high school and you're, like, really good at something. And, mm-hmm, then you, like, get recruited and then you are on a team and you're like, oh, shoot. Everybody's exactly like me or better.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, like, I need to show up and work and grind. And that's kind of my thing. And I'm a huge fan of being disciplined and using your time wisely and, like, practicing really hard and doing all of those quote unquote right things to get better at something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really difficult when you do all of those things and you're, like, not seeing results,
mm-hmm,
which is, I think, common for a lot of athletes. Like, there's just peaks and valleys to how you're playing and stuff that's going on. But for me, I got really burned out playing golf my sophomore year. I was practicing so, so hard and caring so, so much about how I was playing. And it didn't show up on the course. Like, it just not even a little bit. Like, first year, I won some awards, like, was the freshman of the year for our, like, conference. And
okay,
there was just, like, some trajectory of, like, oh, this kid's, like, probably going to be really good. And then sophomore year, hit a slump, wasn't playing good, was actually playing really bad. And that was just, like, shocking, like, for myself and the people around me, because there's these expectations for me to do well.
Yeah.
And it was a big part of it for me. It was like, man, my whole entire identity is tied up in a number that I shoot, like, every day. And that number is not getting any lower, and it's actually getting a lot higher. And now, like, what do I do with that? And so I had to have a complete mindset shift. A big part of it was spiritual, kind of what we're talking about, like, where I was just like, I can't find my identity in this. But what I can do is, like, be thankful that the Lord has, like, given me the ability to play golf, to be outside in nature, like, every single day, just walking on a golf course. Like, I just need to be able to enjoy being in God's presence.
Yes.
And enjoy that, like, and be thankful that, like, I even get to do this.
Yeah.
And then I also had a mindset shift of, man, I just need to have as much fun as I possibly can have on the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, still work extremely hard and practice really hard and go to workouts and like do all the things that you need to do to get better. But when I'm competing, I need to be, my main goal was it stopped being like a numerical goal, and it started being like, my main goal is to have the most fun out of any single person that is competing in this tournament. And if I mentally can smile more, chit chat with the people that I'm playing with,
mm-hmm.
and just like enjoy being outside and competing, then I'm probably going to play better.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the case. Like, again, ups and downs, but like with that mentality for me, I was able to compete at a higher level and got considerably better, and was like one of the like top players for our school, and for, we were a D2 school, and I was an All-American like my last 2 years, I think. So
that's incredible.
So there was definitely a shift for me, one, spiritually, to be able to get to that point and to kind of like release whatever I was holding on to identity wise and then also just like, you know, my goals changed. It's like, I'm doing this Bible study for people that I'm on the team with. If I'm the one that's like getting super upset on the course
and cussing
people out and like, you know, just acting, just having no maturity whatsoever, that doesn't look very good for me to then sit down with them on a Thursday night and be like, hey guys, let's open up our Bibles and talk about how to be gentle. You know, it's like that doesn't add up.
Yeah,
like,
doesn't add up. Yeah. I went through something similar too. And I definitely have to remind myself constantly because I'm just so competitive and it's just frustrating. And then I kind of tend to feel like I get upset with myself if I get so upset. And so, you know, get so over competitive. And so, you know, I kind of have to remind myself the same things, that it's not, because it is so hard, because like you said, it's not, we know it's not our identity, but at the same time, we love what we get to do.
Totally.
And we love that the Lord has given this ability to us, and we want to honor him with it. But it's almost like making something an idol.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you put it too much, do you hold too much of that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it becomes wrong, is because, or you know, you're find the frustration or the anger or over competitiveness or whatever on the court is like, and then, you know, not getting frustrated and just playing the game. So I have found over the years that I will kind of just, I go and pray before every match. I pray 95% of the time, sometimes I forget, but 95% of the time before I walk on the court to teach someone, I just say, Lord, let me, you know, let me figure out what this person's going through. And especially up there where I teach, and you teach up there too, in the Triangle area, people's beliefs are totally different than mine.
Yeah.
So it's a much different, you know, just driving an hour south there, culturally, it's a lot different. And so I'm like, Lord, just let me be a witness to these people. Help them to know that I'm a Christian. And whether I just say, hey, I got church, or I'm going to do this, or, you know, I went to Liberty. That's always an easy giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever it is, that they know that there's something different about me. And I just pray that people see my light. They don't worry about, you know, who I am, what my name is, or if I'm athletic, or if, you know, I'm a good player, or whatever the case is. Or like you said, what your all the things that the world wants you to measure up, your numerical number of what you scored or whatever. I just want to be known as a Christian. And so similar to like what you said about just having fun, it's just, I just want people to know that. And so it kind of, you know, it's tough still. I still have to remind myself of every day, and I fail sometimes. I mean, I've been on the court with you and I've gotten frustrated, and
me too.
And I've had to ask the Lord to forgive me, you know. And so it's fun that I think that we get to do this. This is the way we get to honor the Lord, right? Is being able to use a gift that he's given us, and to be able to be outside, like you said, and just pray, you know, thank the Lord and kind of honor the Lord with what we get to do. So that's awesome. So anything else you want to add?
No, that's great. I feel good about that.
You feel good about it?
Yeah, we crushed that.
You crushed it? Okay, I love it. All right, so kind of get back to your testimony about,
sure.
So you were saying you were finishing college, fifth year, MBA.
Yeah, so I finished all my time in Valdosta, Georgia, which is like pretty small town. Like there's not much there. But I had like a semester of school left, but it was all online. So I moved back home to Macon, Georgia. It's like 2 hours north of Valdosta. It's like right in the middle of the state. But I was feeling this internal, like, what are people thinking about me living at home, working at a coffee shop, having 2 degrees, but like can't find a job.
Yeah.
Like I hate the way that that is being perceived, which is my own thing to deal with. But my dad and my mom, they went on a marriage retreat. Like things are going well for them. I'm not saying they like needed this time, but like somebody gifted them a marriage retreat through an organization called Windshape, which is a nonprofit that's under the Chick-fil-A umbrella, kind of, sort of. It's founded by the Cathy family, which like they founded Chick-fil-A. Truett Cathy's like the Chick-fil-A guy.
Okay.
So they went on this marriage retreat and then they got back and they're like, man, like Windshape is incredible. Like you should like see, it's a nonprofit that's based out of Atlanta. They're like, you should see if they have any job openings. See if there's, you can use your business degree, but in like a nonprofit, like maybe even a ministry setting. And I was like, okay. I think part of me for the longest time was like running away from doing ministry because I was like, my brother's doing it. My uncle did it. My granddad did it. I was like, I want to do my own thing. And then I looked through Windshape's like, job list, like their open opportunities. And one of them was, it's called the program coordinator for the Windshape College program, which is like a leadership development and Christian discipleship program for college students. And there was an opening in Raleigh at NC State University. And I was just looking through the job description and I was like, wow. This seems really cool. I got like really excited about it. And I thought that all of the like the characteristics of what they were looking for was like super applicable to me. And I felt like, man, I have the life experience. I have the skills that they want. And just reading through this, I'm getting like pumped about it.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say like at this point, or really for my life, like I don't feel like, man, I'm called to do ministry full time, like vocationally.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that the Lord speaks through your wants, speaks through your desires, and speaks through the feelings that you have about things. I'm not saying just think about that. Like there are other, you need to talk with people, like you need to read the Bible, do things like that are not just feelings based.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think those are there for a reason. And I was just getting so excited about this role and was like, man, like, I really think the Lord is like kind of impressing on this on me to just explore what this may look like. And so through conversations that I had with people, I reached out to like the hiring manager, had a conversation with her and like just loved what they were doing and like how they were going about doing ministry with college students. And went through the whole interview process, and it was much more rigorous than any of the other interviews that I had been a part of. And then I ended up getting the job and was like, all right, like,
guess I'm going into
full-time ministry and moving to Raleigh, North Carolina, where I don't know a single person, and I'm just going to do this. But I was excited about that. I liked being in Georgia, but I was like, I don't feel any type of way about staying here right now. I'm young. Single, I'm just gonna move, and Raleigh seems like a cool place. Like I'd never been here before.
Like that is wild.
I like flew up for an interview, was here for a day or two, and then flew back, and then a few weeks later they offered me the job, and I was like, all right. So I just found a place to live off Facebook Marketplace. That was a horrible experience, by the way. I would not recommend ever doing that. But yeah, then I moved up here and was doing full time ministry for 2 years.
That is wild.
Yeah, for college students.
So tell me about that experience.
Yeah, so I loved it. I worked specifically with our juniors and seniors, and a lot of what I did was leading them in like spiritual formation practices. And then a huge part of my role as well was I was kind of like the outward facing person that was making relationships with other nonprofits and other ministries in the Raleigh area, so that our students could go serve with them during their junior and senior year. So they would come to me and be like, my students would come to me and be like, hey, I really care about, I want to mentor, a middle schooler. Like, I don't know what that would even look like, but that's kind of what I want to do. And I'd be like, well, hey, I know two of the nonprofits that are in downtown Raleigh that do after school tutoring or after school mentoring. Like, come with me and we can like check it out and see if this is a good fit for you.
That is awesome.
So it was things like that where I was like, man, I feel like the Lord has given me ability to connect with people, like relationally. That just has kind of come pretty easy to me. And then on the spiritual side of things, like what the niche of that role was just something that I really, really loved to do, to connect with the Lord in maybe ways that you really haven't even thought of before, have never been taught before. To do both of those things in one job, I was like, this is great. So I did that for 2 years, but then kind of out of nowhere, in May of last year, they told us, they're like, hey, you've got like 2 or 3 months left, and then we're cutting funding for this. We're kind of like reallocating a lot of our resources to kind of move a different direction. We have a different vision for like what the future of the Windshape College program is going to look like. So then it was just like, out of nowhere, we're like, the rug got pulled out from under us, and we're like, well, we got 2 minutes to like wrap up all the ministry that has been happening here.
That is wild.
Yeah.
So you're like, sir, you're, you know, you're finally accepting that you're called to ministry.
Right.
And you're doing ministry, and then
then it's just like gone.
Just gone. What'd you think?
Yeah. I mean, it kind of just, it happened, and I think I was in shock for a while of like, dude, like I just moved up here. Like to do this, like I
listen to you, Lord.
I was like, this is what I'm like here to do. And now that this, like, not even did I get like, did I quit or get fired or something? Like, it doesn't even exist this here anymore.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy to like even wrap my head around. But fortunately they gave us like a pretty generous severance package. So I wasn't feeling like the pressure financially.
Mm-hmm.
To like have to move on to something like really, really quick. I was able to like, I guess, kind of process through like, man, the things that I did get to do were wonderful. And like, I loved just the whole process of doing ministry.
What's next?
I started looking at jobs. In the meantime, I walked into a coffee shop in downtown Raleigh and was like, hey, you guys hiring? And they were like, yep. And I was like, sick. So I've like just got a part-time job like for the time being. So I was like, I don't want to like just run through the severance money.
Yeah.
I want to be able to like at least cover my cost of living for right now, like as I try and figure out what's next to do.
What's going, yeah.
And then I just took a step back and I was like, well, what do I like to do? What do I enjoy doing? And one of those is like, I've always been super into like comedy stuff. Like for my whole life, I've always been super into it. And I made some like some dumb videos in college, like on TikTok, that like went kind of viral. And then I was like, well, like I got a lot of free time, and I got like super into pickleball. My mom had been playing for like since 2019. So I'd been around it, and my brother played tennis in college. So there was like, I don't know, there was some like racket experience for me. And I was playing pickleball like once a week, and just at open play, just like wrecking people, you know, and just being like, this is easy, like this is a joke, like it cannot be that hard to like play this game professionally.
Yeah.
And then as you get into it, it's like it's hard. They're like, there's a lot of people that are very, very good.
Yeah.
But so I was like, man, what do I like to do? I like to make people laugh. I enjoy making content online. I'm loving playing pickleball right now. What is, like, is there a way that I can do all of these things together? And like,
and, sure, and
make
is.
It and make it like work financially.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, but I can give it a shot. Like I kind of have the freedom and the like financial help to be able to do something for like a year. And then if it works out, great. And if it doesn't, then I'll just get a real job. Like that was genuinely like my like mindset towards it.
You're in this pickleball, you know, thing, and you're, you know, trying to figure it out. You know, are you, when you're doing all of this, you know, are you trying to, how are you trying to honor the Lord with it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think honestly for me, I've learned a lot of the lessons through playing golf in college, like, and wanting to play professionally. I feel like there's a lot of things that are comparable. I think a big thing is just like getting out there and being like one of the kindest people that you can be to the people that are around you is just something that I think the Lord honors. And I think a goal of mine is to like play pickleball with people, practice with people, whatever it is. And I want them in their head to be thinking like, what is different like about this dude?
Yeah.
Like how, like he's kind. Like, and he can even go into like smaller things. Like he's, you know, when we drill together, like he helps me work on this one
he's
thing together.
Yeah,
he's considered, or like he, you know, he shows up at the time that he says, or he like is doing X, Y, and Z that like feels like not everybody does all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's the small stuff like that where I think, especially like pro athletes, like a lot of them are kind of jerks to people.
Yeah.
And like, that's just a bummer. But like even in playing in tournaments, like against people, I haven't played a sport in a long time where I have competed against another person. In golf, it's, you are, yeah, sure, you're competing against people, but I'm playing against the course, like first and foremost. Like I'm not hitting a shot and then like blocking your ball to make sure like you're not doing the things that you're supposed to be
doing.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's not like head to head.
Yeah, like you're each competing against each other, but you're competing against the course. Like
right.
You're trying to beat yourself almost.
Yeah. So it's just, it's a different dynamic for me to now be playing against like people. There's like an emotional aspect to it. There's like, you're also playing with a partner a lot of the time. So like there's that relationship dynamic happening. So there's a lot more opportunity and a lot more like maybe dangerous opportunity to like one either. I think you have a lot of opportunity to like make this a really cool experience for everybody and for somebody to be like, wow, that was wonderful that I got to play with them. Or like, man, like even if we lost or we won or whatever, the other people on the other team can be like, man, that person's like
a solid person.
Something's up with them.
Like, yeah.
Or it can be detrimental where you're like, man, I hated playing with that person, or like that person's such a jerk. Like,
yeah.
Because of the way that they acted and how they treated me. So it's just, it's a very different dynamic for me to like try and figure out and navigate.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the big thing is to just try and be a light to people, even if they don't really even have a grasp for what that's like.
Yeah.
You know?
And I find in the pickleball community, and maybe it's because I'm older, so kind of like I'm more aware of kind of how the world is. I don't know what it is, but I can't stand it. I can't stand. And I think we've talked about it a little bit. Like, it's just going to these tournaments and it's just, people are really not that nice.
Totally.
People are so focused on themselves and what they can get, what they can accomplish. And that's it. And so it's kind of, you know, it feels when I'm there, nothing is authentic. The relationships that you're talking, and it's, some of them are, you know, you, like you and I and Will and our friends and stuff that we have, but it's just, it's like you said, just even being like, what do you want to work on today? Or if someone plays well, or you know, just saying nice things and doing nice things. I know when I'm on the court in a tournament, when I'm on the court, it's business. I'm not trying to be their best friend. I know people like that, and it drives me nuts. Like, I'm trying to focus. But it's at the same time, you know, if a ball is in the center of the court, I'm going to go get it for you and give it back. Or, you know, I'm going to say good shot. Or I'm going to... the biggest thing for me is respecting the refs. I can't stand the way that some of the pros treat people. The way I see it is, if the person said that the color, you know, the ball is red and the court is this, you know, bigger than it is, they're the refs at the end of the day, and whatever they say, in my opinion, goes. And so I don't care if a ball is in or out. I don't care, you know, what they say. It's their ruling, and the disrespect that I see people treat, and just, and most of these people that are our refs are older.
Sure.
And so then it's like, you know, you're not only mistreating a person doing their job, but you're also mistreating a person, an elder. And so who's doing this? Because for the same reason why we're here, the love of the game. And so I always try to like go and thank them, and even if I win or lose, I just kind of tap their back and say thank you so much and look at them in the eyes. And so I kind of do the same thing, just, you know. But you're in pickleball and you're creating all this content, and to kind of tell me about that.
Yeah, it's fun.
Like, how do you come up with your ideas and all that?
It's really just based on what has happened in real life. Like, and I can't turn it off anymore. Like, I used, like, once you start like thinking of like content stuff, and for me, it's a, I have to post 4 or 5 times a week. Like, for,
so there's a lot of content.
Yeah. Cause like a lot of, like, part of my deal with Carbon is, like social media stuff. And so like I have like contractually like obligated to like post a lot. So that, I can't turn it off. Like, I just have to, like, I'll stay up at night, not on purpose, but just like laying in bed thinking of like funny ideas or like a script for an idea. And then I'll like wake up in the morning and read it. And I was like, this is horrible. Like, I'm like, bro, I should go to bed. Get some sleep, bro. You don't need to be doing all that.
That is so funny. But no, like, even you've grown some popularity pretty quickly. You know, for pickleball, it's really actually a pretty, what is the word people use? Niche? Is that
right?
Yeah,
super niche. Yeah.
Like, it's actually pretty exciting that if you kind of hit it with the social media, like, you don't have to have that many followers and do stuff. I'm so thankful that, you know, we get to do it and do it in a God-honoring way. And, and of course, we fail. Like we said, it's a sport. Sometimes our, just like anything in life, our flesh may get involved. And by that, our flesh, what we mean is, you know, being over-competitive or letting our emotions get the best of us or, you know, little things like that. But trying to always honor the Lord. And that's just kind of something for listeners is like, you know, when we're talking, we're not talking about when we're talking about our flesh or trying to, you know, when we feel guilty that we've messed up on the court, it's not big things. Sometimes like mine can be, I might have like shook my head at someone or, you know, didn't pick up the ball or didn't, because like you said, you're trying to be so much different on that court and not necessarily saying I love Jesus, you know, just by being the little things. And so, you know, trying to encourage you to do that in your own, when you're in work or wherever you are, you know, the office is, you know, messy. Pick it up. Trash is full. Take it out. Tell the person at the front desk who may be quiet, you know, to have a great day or ask them about their lives. And, you know, just little things like that that really matter at the end of the day that maybe people might not even think about. But I think that's what, you know, we're trying to find on the court is those little opportunities. So kind of last thing, you know, what is your God themes of your life? Like, how do you, you know, just feel that the Lord is using you and has always used you, and kind of, you know, when you feel like you're going through something or good or bad or, you know, ups and downs of life or just, you know, things that life throws at you, the things that you kind of look back and think, okay, the Lord's had me here before.
Yeah.
I know how he's going to see it through. I know, you know, the trajectory of what's about to happen.
Totally. Yeah. I think I love to be in control of a lot of things. I think I'm pretty... I may not present this way, or maybe I do present this way. I don't know. I'm like pretty type A. Like, I like to be pretty organized.
You do not present this way because you don't care what's happening in your life.
Right.
You're just like, whatever comes will come.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, except like, I'll set my drilling schedule a week in advance. Like,
that is true. I have wondered. I'm like, this dude is uptight about his drills.
I'm like, got my calendar set up. Like, I got my schedule planned out.
Oh, goodness.
You know, where it's like, yeah, like I'm chill about some things.
I would do that. To be honest, I would do that too if I lived in Raleigh, where there's like a ton of people to chill with, and I would want the top people, you know, in the things. I would do that too.
It's like, and for me, it's like, okay, if I want to get better at this, there, I need to be disciplined. I need to work on my time management. Need to have a plan when I show up to drill. Like, and I feel like I'm that way in a lot of areas of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Super type A. Hopefully to a point that's not like unhealthy, but it can be, because I want control. And so, you know, I think the Lord really calls me to depend on him more often. And I think I've seen that in like, hey, I moved up here to do a job. And now that job doesn't like really fully even exist anymore. Like, there are things like that where I'm like, oh, I didn't realize that I cared that much about having control over something until it's like, oh, shoot, like that's completely gone.
Yeah, and that may be why you're like that, where you're just kind of like laissez faire because you're learning to be dependent on him. Yeah, because I feel that way too.
Yeah, I think that's something that the Lord has continually taught me over time and through life. But as you are no longer a dependent on anybody, like where it's just you, I think you really start to learn that. And that's a big thing. I think something for me as well, and just kind of a theme of what we've talked about, is like, for me to live from a place of knowing that I'm just loved by God is like just monumental for me. That it's no matter what I do, like no matter how successful I am, no matter how many achievements I accomplish, and like if I can just know that like God loves me and there's nothing I can do that's going to like, one, like throw that away, and there's also nothing that I can do that's going to earn any more of God's love.
Yeah.
Then if that's my mindset, like I'm golden.
Yeah, I love that. Mm-hmm. And I think being dependent on the Lord is taking, you know, that identity away to where you are, like what you get to choose.
Sure.
For your identity, you know, when you're dependent on him, he kind of tells you what that is.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, again, when people ask me who I am,
yeah,
I'd say, well, I'm a pickleball player.
Yeah.
I'm a
right,
coach.
Right.
I'm a Christian. And I love, you know, I love loving on people and talking with people, particularly older people. And I think that's why the Lord has me in this area, because I get to be around those people every day,
right,
all day. So, but it's hard, you know, sometimes, like you said, what if they get stripped away? Who are you then?
Mm-hmm.
And I have to remind myself sometimes, because I like a full plate, a full
sure
schedule. And if I'm gone, go, you know, I've got to make sure and prioritize the Lord in that, because, you know, if I'm out of balance, you know, I start not feeling okay. I start, you know, I'm like, well, I've played pickleball too much, or I've been traveling and going to tournaments too much. You know, I've missed church this much, or
right,
I've done, you know, I need to be in the Word more, because, you know, I woke up early to play pickleball, but am I doing that for, you know, so always prioritizing the Lord. And I think in your heart too, like where your priorities lie and
right,
what your heart desires, that's who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so while we love something and the Lord's given us that to love, you know, making sure that you are allowing him to use you and allowing your gifts to be his gifts and his, you know, like we're his hands and feet, and not just doing something to be doing something, if that makes sense. And,
yeah,
and you know, and for yourself, but to be doing it for the Lord.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's pretty good. Wes, you're mm-hmm an incredible guy.
Stop. Stop it.
Learn a few things about you. Started a ministry, golf legend. But yeah, I bet if I went to that school, I'd be like, Wes, dog.
They might. Well, small circles of people that cared about college golf might feel that way.
That's pretty incredible. And you're a beast on the court.
Trying to be.
You are.
I'm giving it my all.
You need to have confidence in yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not too much, though. You got to find a balance. Or you got to be quietly confident.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
You got to be quiet.
Not cockiness. Just
yeah,
a quiet confidence that you belong.
Yep.
And you're a beast.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And most importantly, you love the Lord and you know, you're trying to honor him with your life, whether that's pickleball, ministry, coffee shop, whatever it is.
Making videos. Yeah.
This guy does it all, I'm telling you.
Something like that.
All right, well, we're going to play pickleball now.
That's right.
Sorry for some of the long pickleball talks. We could have kept going. I did have to look at the clock and say, man, we might have been chatting about pickleball too long. But you're a pleasure. It was a lot of fun, and can't wait for the next episode, guys. Thank you, and thank you, West Dog.
Thank you, Haley. Loved
yes
it.
Yes, thanks. Bye.